not bright and early any morning, but it is time for Monday's meditation to think and ponder on the goodness of God. And I am so grateful that you are here with me, that we get to spend time together. I am doing a series on cultivating, and last week we talked about cultivating time with God. And today I want to talk about cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. I just was on this thought pattern that God had me on of cultivating and what, you know, cultivating means. And it's kind of like my word ponder that I really, really like. Again, ponder's that kind of archaic term that we don't use much anymore. We probably substitute it with meditate, but ponder has such a great, rich meaning. Excuse me. And so cultivate has the same type of meaning. You know, it's a long-term word. Both ponder and cultivate are long-term words. They're not things that happen in an instant. They're deep, thoughtful, time-consuming, resource-consuming words. So cultivate, we talked about last week, one of the best definitions that I liked of cultivate was to improve something, whatever it is you're going to cultivate, to improve. It's a relationship, it's you know, time with someone, it's cultivate the ground, whatever it was, to improve by labor, care, or study. So if you think about cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in your life, that's to improve by labor, care, or study. You know, you want to study those things. You want to carefully ponder those things, long-term ponder those things. But you either are going to spend a lot of time cultivating things of you or of the Spirit. Now, when I talk about cultivating things of the Spirit, excuse me this morning, it comes from spending time in God's Word. I say that all the time. Spend time with God, spend time with Him in His Word. They're both equal, because if you just spend time with Him but you don't really know who He is exactly, then it's hard to define Him. It's hard to ask anything of Him because you don't know who He is. The Bible shows us who He is and what He wants to do and what He is able to do. The Bible is our plumb line for everything. So when I read my Bible and I say, hey, He did it for them and He did it for them, and then this person did this and that's not good, I learn that's my guidebook. It's my guidebook for life. It's my guidebook to know who my Father is, who I said I would live my life with Him as my Lord and Savior, my boss, my Father. So are you cultivating time with Him so that you can have faith in, so that you can believe in, so that you can trust in Him? Or are you cultivating most of your time with you so that you can trust in, so that you can believe in, so that you can have faith in what you can do? Which is not good. You either have confidence in you, human confidence, or you have God confidence. That disposition will come about by whom you spend more time with, with whom you spend more time with whom you are cultivating a relationship with. So if you think about it, if you are cultivating a relationship mostly with you, you are going to get fruit of humankind, mankind. That fruit a lot of times looks like worry and anxiety. I need X, whatever it is, but I need blank. But I'm not sure if all the stars will align, if all the people in the world will cooperate. I just don't know. Worry and anxiety, I'm just not sure. You're subject to all the unknowns, and there's a lot of unknowns in this world from a perspective of a finite human being. You will constantly live in a state of worry and anxiety because 2 + 2 will not always equal 4. Because you can't see all the things. You think when I do enough, how do you know when you do enough? Well, when I do enough, I'll be successful. How do you know when you're successful? Oh, I'm successful when I make a lot of money. Well, how do I know when you have enough money? The line always moves because you when you have enough money, the standard of living usually increases, and you usually buy a new car, you'll buy a new house, you'll buy a new wardrobe, you'll get somebody to come in and clean your house. Those are those things that typically happen when people have more money, and then the worry and anxiety is still there because now I have to maintain this. I don't want to lose this. Well, I need a bumper, a little extra cash just in case something happens. So I've got to worry that that happens. And, bigger money problems come up. Instead of $10 problems, you got $1,000 problems or $10,000 problems. So you don't know what all is out there. And I was listening to someone last night and he said something so profound. You don't know what you don't know, but God knows what you don't know. John Paul Jackson. And I was like, well, that's pretty profound. But without God, you are subject to worry and anxiety because you don't know what you don't know. You're also subject to helplessness, despair, and depression. You think you sit in and you've worked and you've worked and you just sit down and you say, whatever it is. I see others who get that. There's just this hopelessness. But I don't know how they do it. You start to believe I'm obviously not smart enough, not talented enough. I don't have what it takes. I don't even know what it takes anymore because I've done 2 + 2 and it never equals 4. So you go through now a state of hopelessness, despair, and depression. You can't figure out how to get from A to B because remember, you don't know all the unknowns. You're subject to whatever comes your way. The unfortunate fruit of mankind, yes, is worry and anxiety, and that's bad. Hopelessness, despair, and depression is bad. And there's also the anger and depravity. Sometimes people go through those stages and they end up at a stage where I did X and Y didn't happen, and now I'm going to go get X, and I don't care who stands in my way. In fact, whoever stands in my way of getting X, getting whatever blank, is in trouble. Excuse me. We're done at the, we've worried, we've gone through helplessness, despair, and at this stage, we're just done. We're done with worrying, being helpless and hopeless. They're not going to sit there and hope for it anymore. We're going to go out and get what we want. It is almost unspeakable what man will do to his fellow man to get what he wants when he's done with those other stages. We become, I'd hate to say this, but it's, H-E double hockey sticks bit, and I mean that respectfully, on getting our own way, honestly. And if you think about it, the demons who are destined for hell do not care about mankind. Lost his speech, he lost all of his ability for control. And when it possessed him, it says it often threw him in the fire and the water in order to kill him. Hell does not care about you. And the depravity of man looks really bad. It looks a lot like what I just read to you. It doesn't care about the body. It doesn't care about the emotions of the soul. We don't want to look like that, but the fruit of that is bad. We would all be there if it was not for the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And when I say the word regenerating, if you regenerate, like a starfish can regenerate an arm, or whatever they call those things that stick out. I don't know if they call them arms. we can't regenerate an arm, but it can. And so, it's when someone who is spiritually dead is made spiritually alive, regenerating by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Several podcasts ago, I talked about who we were in Christ Jesus, in Christ, in Christ. Without the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, we as mankind are really, really bad. We are. But that's the gospel. That's the good news. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to live in worry and anxiety and hopelessness, despair and depression. And we don't have to worry about going to the anger and what we think. I would never have thought I could do, I would do that. But I lost control of myself. We don't have to worry about those things. with the regenerating power of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, and being in Christ. I was going to read one of them in Ephesians. Now, in Him, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him, God, be the glory of the be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. By His divine power, God has given everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. 2 Peter 1:3. You know, you can sum up the Bible in four words. And I heard this one time, and I wish I could knew how, who to give this credit to, but you can sum up the Bible in four words: God, man, sin, Jesus. God, man, sin, Jesus. That's the sum of the whole Bible. That's the glorious gospel. We don't have to live with the fruit of all those things. We don't have to live there. You know, the Bible is full of, once sin came in, there's all kinds of worry and depravity. Cain killed Abel right out the gate, right out the get-go. Cain killed Abel. We have all this deceit going on with Jacob. And I mean, the Bible is full of the fruit of mankind, but God intervened. God inserted Himself into mankind. Galatians 4:6 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." We have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. We do not have to live in worry and anxiety, hopelessness, despair, depression, anger, and depravity. We do not have to live with those things. Worry and anxiety is probably the worst one, but we have a lot of hopelessness, despair, and depression. And unfortunately, just a turning on of the news lets us know of the anger and depravity of man. But God is active. God is here and active, and He wants to be active in your life. Active since the beginning of time. In Genesis, He is hovering over the waters. You know, so He is still here today to help you to get X or to get blank. That's your prayer time. That's cultivating time with Him, not just to pray so I get X, but that's when you spend time with Him, you learn of Him, and the desires of your heart begin to align with His. And then you're not worried as much as we talked about in Matthew 6 about what you eat and what you wear and what you drink and all of those things, because your Father knows you need those things. So you stop worrying about those things, and your prayer time becomes totally different, because you know, I know you need this. I know you know that God knows. Or I'm sitting here saying it like I'm praying. God, I know you know that I need that, and that I want that, and that, you know, we need to pay the bills. So I want to come bring it before you, God, but I also just want to spend time knowing how good you are. Remember, that's Sabbath. Sabbath is not just taking a rest. I say that all the time as well. So the fruit of the Spirit is something different. You know, we're going to cultivate time with God, learning about Him, spending that time on the Sabbath, because that's what I was going to say. It's not just about rest. Sabbath is also about resting your body and your mind of the cares of this world, so you can spend your time and energy and resources, and put your mind on things of Him to see how faithful He is, how faithful He was the week before, so you can know how faithful He will be the upcoming week. It is to ponder on the goodness of God. That's the ultimate intent of Sabbath, because I say all the time, anybody can take a nap. It's not about taking a nap. It's not about just ceasing. Yes, He wants you to have time to cease your labor, because He cares for you in that way, because He knows you labor. But He also wants you to spend time on His goodness and faithfulness. You know, so instead of worry and anxiety, this is what I wrote. God wants to let you know how much you are loved, and that you have access to joy and peace through Him who loves us. Instead of hopelessness, despair, and depression, God wants you to know how much you are cared for and loved, so that you experientially know joy when you do not know how your needs are going to be met. But God came through again. Boy, that's shouting time. That's praising time. when you didn't know how you were going to get past and get through the situation, but God came through again. That's joy. You know joy experientially then. Instead of anger and depravity, God wants you to know His love so that you can give love to your fellow man, so that you can exhibit patience, gentleness, self-control. Instead of hurting your fellow man, you can be kind, good, and a faithful friend. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is what comes into me, and it should spontaneously and without effort flow out of me. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and that fruit of the Spirit should spontaneously, without effort, flow out of me. And I lose it all the time, so I go back to God. I lose it with something that happens in the world, and I go back to God. And if I stay in God's Word, and I just get renewed and restored and refreshed so that I can go to someone else and refresh them. That's what we need. That's how you cultivate, and that's why you cultivate time and cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life, by spending time with Him, with God, and in His Word, and in His presence, so that you can give it out. Because how much of the world does not know what true love is? How much of the world does not really know what joy is? They may be happy for a season, but it goes away. How much of the world does not have peace because they don't know where my next paycheck's coming from? They don't know how they're going to pay their house note. They don't know how they're going to finance this or that that's happened in their life. How many people need those things? And we have those things, and we should be cultivating them in our lives, because if I plant tulips, tulips should come up. So if I'm planting myself and planting God's Word in me, then guess what's going to come out to a hurting world? You know, we want to look and act like Jesus, because that's the gospel. That's us. You know, don't worry about those things. It says in Matthew 6, your Father knows you have need of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That leads me back to the beginning to wrap up. There's human belief or God belief, or human confidence, worry and anxiety, hopelessness, despair. Which one is more important to cultivate? Because I need the fruit of the Spirit. I need to know what true love is, the biblical definition of love. I want to know joy and peace. I want to know His kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, His patience and long suffering with me. Yes, I do. I want to know that long suffering. I don't want to mess up, but I know that He still loves me over and over again when I mess up. And I want to know His self-control, that I exhibit all of those things. He doesn't just send a lightning bolt to just, you know, I'm gone the first time I sin. And then I can turn around and give those things. So what I want you to think about, you know, do you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in your life, or do you exhibit the fruit of your time, of cultivating time with you? Do you exhibit the fruit of your limited resources and maybe the ugliness of the unregenerate man? Or do you exhibit the far surpassing and exceeding greatness and goodness of God? That's what we want to do. That's what we want to look like. That's how we want to shine in this world differently. Like I said just a minute ago, I want it. I need it. But I also want to give it. There's a hurting world out there. I spend time in God's Word because it's the solace of my soul. It is the balm in Gilead. It is those things that are for me. I know that sounds selfish, but my goodness, I need Him every hour, every day, every minute. I don't like where my thoughts go. I don't like living in worry and anxiety. I don't want to be there. And I open up His Bible, and it's just like refreshing and calming. It's almost hard to explain. But all of a sudden, the worries and the cares of this world, I go, God, You're a great God. God, You're a good God. God, You're a loving God. And I read that, and all of a sudden I guess the best way to explain it is I get to breathe. You know what? Why am I so worried? I just read what you did for them. I just heard David sing of your goodness, tell of your goodness, declare your goodness. Yep, I need to let go of that. I just want to tell you how much I love you. I just want to tell you how much I thank you for being in my life and that you are accessible. You are not a God who's far off. That's what I do when I read my Bible. And then when I get up, I'm full of love, joy, peace. I am full of those things, the fruit of the Spirit, so that I can exhibit it to my fellow man. Spend time this week just sitting in his presence and cultivating time with him so that you can exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you for joining me this morning. You have a great week. I'll see you back next week. Bye-bye.